It's only Wednesday, and it already feels like a long news week. For a perspective shift, peer through our camera lens today. Staff photographer Melanie Stetson Freeman and staff writer Jackie Valley take us to Diamond Head State Monument in Hawaii. When it was discovered in the 1700s, explorers thought the belly of the crater was filled with diamonds. They were seeing calcite crystals. This place used to be a citadel and coastal defense system with tunnels, bunkers, and lookout stations. Now, rising nearly 600 feet, it's a national natural landmark and one of Hawaii's most recognizable sites. It's Wednesday, January 14th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from Monitor writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney is visiting China this week amid strained relations with Washington. Canadian officials see the visit as part of an effort to recalibrate relations with China after a decade of tensions, while Mr. Carney describes it as part of an economic vision that aims to move Canada's economy from reliance to resilience. Beijing is calling the three-day visit an opportunity for Canada to embark on a new strategic autonomy. French far-right politician Marine Le Pen appeared in a Paris court as her month-long appeals trial opens. Ms. Le Pen was convicted last March of embezzling EU funds, where she was sentenced to 4 years in prison and barred from running for office for 5 years. The National Rally Party frontwoman has said she will give up her 2027 presidential bid if convicted, and has suggested that current party president Jordan Bardella could run in her stead. Also, Ugandans head to the polls Wednesday to elect a new president. But the only person really in the running is Yoweri Museveni, the octogenarian who has ruled the East African country since 1986. That's longer than more than 80% of Ugandans have been alive. This trend is mirrored across the continent, which is the world's youngest, but has some of its oldest leaders. Among them is the world's most elderly head of state, 92-year-old Paul Biya of Cameroon. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. There's a difference between constitutionally protected free speech and acts of civil disobedience that could lead to arrest. Still, it's not clear that Renee Good in Minneapolis was interfering illegally with ICE operations. And civil disobedience isn't terrorism under traditional definitions. Simon Montlake, Cameron Pugh, and Victoria Hoffman report for The Monitor. The Smithsonian Institution receives federal money, but historically has made its own decisions about how to tell the American story. Now, the Trump White House wants to make sure museum exhibits conform to its ideology. Caitlin Babcock and Victoria Hoffman report from Washington and Boston for The Monitor. Efforts to diversify rare earth supply chains are bringing new attention to war-ravaged Myanmar, where massive rare earth deposits create opportunity and risk for the fractured rebellion. Contributor Akas Hassan reports from Delhi for The Monitor. Getting from Russia to the rest of Europe should just be as easy as stepping across a border. But since the start of the war in Ukraine and Western sanctions, it's become a frustration, as The Monitor's Moscow correspondent knows from experience. Fred Ware reports from Helsinki and Moscow for The Monitor. Decades ago, Diamond Head was a coastal defense system, hence the tunnels, bunkers, and lookout stations carved into the volcanic crater. Today, it's a national natural landmark beloved by hikers. Melanie Stetson Freeman and Jackie Valley report from Honolulu. To view this photo essay in full, visit csmonitor.com/daily. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on a credible hand on the nation's economic engine. Tensions between U.S. presidents and heads of the Federal Reserve banking system, history shows, are common. In 1965, Lyndon B. Johnson reportedly shoved and yelled at the chair of the Fed for not lowering the interest rate to the president's liking. In the 1950s, Harry Truman pressured not one, but two chairmen on the same issue. And in the 1970s, Richard Nixon succeeded in his efforts, which economists blame for years-long double-digit inflation. Divorcing monetary policy from national politics helped make the United States a safe haven for global investors, observed conservative commentator Nick Cotoggio in the Dispatch on Monday. The Federal Reserve, he wrote, has a special role in America's international preeminence and therefore also arguably a special duty to resist presidential or political pressures. While past White House Fed differences have typically been argued behind closed doors, they have now burst into the open, threatening to further erode declining public trust in governance and democratic institutions. Calling for a 1% interest rate, President Donald Trump has escalated verbal and social media criticism of current chair Jerome Powell and other Fed board members. On January 9th, the Department of Justice served the Federal Reserve with subpoenas to investigate Mr. Powell's testimony to Congress about renovations of its headquarters. Both Republicans and Democrats in Congress have decried the move as politically motivated, and Wall Street CEOs as well as global central bank heads have expressed confidence in Mr. Powell's integrity and in the importance of independence from political meddling. Mr. Powell agrees that he is not above the law, but in a video statement, he cast the administration's move as retaliation for setting interest rates based on our best assessment of what will serve the public rather than following the preferences of the president. Perceptions of how well the institutions of democracy serve the public interest are key assets for any government. Countries such as Argentina, Turkey, Russia, and Venezuela, where political leaders push for artificially low interest rates, have experienced runaway inflation, rapid devaluation, and instability. Public trust is a cornerstone of central banking, researchers at the London-based Center for Economic Policy Research noted in a January 2025 report analyzing 4 million social media posts about the Federal Reserve. Trust, the researchers explained, is about the belief in the goodwill or integrity of the central bank, an expectation that it will act in the public interest. Scandals that bring into question the integrity of key officials caused the largest erosion in trust, they found. Whether the Federal Reserve investigation moves forward or not, Americans would do well to expect goodwill among public institutions and political leaders, while also demanding integrity from them. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how prayer can enable us to find greater peace, love, and safety in our communities. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt, Audrey Thiebert, and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.